Aina, I know that you've been involved for several years now with a body called the Campaign for Responsible Rodenticide Use, as has Birdwatch Ireland, all around the responsible use of rat poisons that people would use to control rodents because of the impact that they can have on predators, particularly on birds of prey. Just something came to my attention there just the other day. A good friend of mine who lives not too far away from me in Greystones in North Wicklow, he had seen a strange bird in his garden, and it turned out that it was a female kestrel. It was behaving oddly. He saw it one day, and then the next day he found it dead behind the bins in the garden. And in recent times, I've seen more bait stations around the area, the streets nearby, people put this bait put out for rats and mice, presumably. And I've no way of proving this, but it looks like to me that there's a very strong chance that these two are connected, that this poor unfortunate kestrel, which feeds on rodents, has eaten a contaminated mouse, perhaps, and has succumbed to the poison itself. I believe that this is quite a problem around Ireland. As we drive around, and Derek, you and I have spoken about this before, driving, for example, between Dublin and Cork, as we do every year for the Dawn Chorus programme, I see fewer and fewer kestrels along the side of the road. You used to see on that drive, you maybe see a dozen hovering there at the side of the road. Now, if I see one, it's kind of a landmark occasion. It's something that I would note.
Yeah, I don't see them at all, hardly.
Yeah, they're very, very scarce. So yeah, just something, Aina, that struck me. In terms of the campaign for responsible rodenticide use, what would be the main tips there for people, and how is the campaign itself going?
Well, no, this is a very interesting one. In fact, I see buzzards and no kestrels when I'm out and about. But I wonder who's putting down these bait boxes. Is it local authorities? Is it the local house owners? Is it shop owners? I mean, do you know, are they sort of all with the same logo on them indicating they're local authorities? Have you any idea about that, first of all?
I don't. I haven't seen logos on them at all. And I see them it's not just confined to Greystones. I'm seeing more of these everywhere where I happen to go around Ireland.
You can't miss them. They're green, usually green.
Yes, that's right.
And they've got a hole at one end and you see them tucked up alongside a building. I see lots of them. Anywhere there's new construction, you see these things.
Exactly. And that may be tied to the fact that around Greystones, there is quite a lot of new construction happening. So maybe that is the case. As sites are cleared, it does lead to rodents leaving those sites and flooding into gardens and so on, which obviously nobody wants to see happening. But the irony of it is that the best rodenticides of all are these birds of prey, like the kestrels, like the buzzards, like the barn owls and the long-eared owls around the area. And the more of those that are killed with rodenticide inadvertently, and nobody's doing this deliberately, but inadvertently these birds are dying, the more rodents there'll be, therefore the more need there will be for more rat poison.
Well, now, come on now, the birds of prey can't get in to your house to eliminate the rodents if they're in there. And you know how quickly rodents reproduce.
Oh, absolutely, but these aren't in houses. So, absolutely, nobody wants to.
No, I know they're not in houses, but they're coming and going around the houses, around the perimeters. They're sniffing out food wherever they can get it and trying to get in to get even more or get in for the heat, whatever the case may be.
Oh, absolutely.
There aren't enough birds of prey.
And we're the ones responsible for that. We need to do more to redress this natural balance. And the poison is playing a role there, of course. But the thing is, it's not the campaign for ending rodenticide use. It's the campaign for responsible rodenticide use. There are ways in which that this bait and these poisons can be used in a way that minimises the impact on other birds. Isn't that right, Aina?
Yes, Niall, I'm glad you brought this up. And there's actually been a complete overhaul of the rules about using rat poisons in Europe, because the whole situation over the last 20 years has changed enormously. Rat poisons originally were what we called first generation anticoagulants, things like warfarin. So if rats and mice ate this, they would bleed to death, particularly mice. But what happened, of course, was that they quickly became immune to this and they had to go on to have second generation anticoagulants. And there are five of these and they are exceedingly toxic and poisonous. And now we're discovering, and certainly in Britain, and there's been pockets of it discovered in Ireland as well, that the rats in particular are becoming immune to some of these as well. So the EU have tightened up enormously on the regulations, and this whole idea of willy-nilly putting out rat poison has been banned. To put out the really strong second generation anticoagulants, you have to be a professional rodent pest control person, someone like the likes of Rentokil or someone like that. And they can buy this very strong rat poisons in special places where they have to produce documentation to say they have been trained for this. Farmers with a herd number can buy it for their own use, and ordinary punters like you and me can only buy very small amounts with much reduced amount of toxins in it. And that's the way they're to be sold. If they're sold any other way, the people selling them are breaking the law. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing is that if there is, let us say, building construction or some carry on going on that there's rodents to be seen and pest control people have been called in, the first thing they do is they put out about bait boxes everywhere because rats are neophytes. And this means that they are very suspicious of anything new. So therefore, they put in these bait boxes all around the place with no poisonous bait in them. They might put in the actual things, the wax blocks, but there's no, these are dummies, if you like, to get the rats used to them being there. And then, and only then, when the rats are accustomed to all of this, will they put it out. There's a strict quota. They can only be used for 30 days. If the rats are not cleared by then, they cannot put out permanent bait. This is against the law, and if this is discovered, there's prosecutions to be had. And the problem of the reason for this is that we will end up with our rats being immune to the poisons we have, and then we'll really be in trouble. So this is all very strictly controlled. Now, obviously, there are people who don't obey the controls and things like this, but the Campaign for Responsible Rodenticide Use has been very effective in pushing for these rules to be applied, and the Department of Agriculture are the ones with the inspectors. So what they normally say is that one should have an integrated approach to this. What do rodents want? They want food and water, they want shelter, they want harbourage. And if you don't have loads of rubbish around the place, bags of food put out after hours from food takeaways, if you don't have harbourage, rubbish and pallets and stuff that they can go in and hide in, then you're taking away their comforts. So all of these things are to be tried first. Poisons are always said by the Campaign for Responsible Rodenticide Use that they are the very last straw. They're not the first thing you go to. It's the last thing you go to. So if there has been this carry on going on in Greystones recently, there may be something going on. But if they're there for longer than 30 days with active poisons in them, they're against the law. So, I mean, that's what we have. So who's going to enforce the law, I suppose, is the next thing.
That's very useful information, Aina, and I hope a lot of people are making note of it, because I think that it's something that is not widely known in Ireland. It should be known much better, I think. Do you know, is there any requirement on the people who put out the bait boxes to put some sort of date on them saying when they've been laid down?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, there's paperwork associated with the companies. So if you get in an official pest control company, the first thing to do is a survey of the area to see, and they are there rats there? Where are they coming from? Are there tracks and trails? Is there loads of rubbish and mess? No point in putting out poisons if the mess and rubbish and food is still there. That's not what you do. So they have to make notes of all these site maps. They have to draw places where they put the bait boxes, say what bait goes into them, how much is used, are there droppings, is there evidence of this? And of course, the big thing is that we don't get non-target species. The only species that are targeted are mice and rats. And in general now, to be fair, the mice and the rats, when they don't feel well, go off into their burrows to die. It's quick acting enough, but it's not instantaneous, so that they don't really, a lot of them are not staggered around half dead, because they've gone back to from whence they came to die out of sight. Because we are doing this survey on, what would you call it, on resistance, and asking these men to send us in bits of rats that they have found, and they find it very hard to find the rats to cut off their tails to send them in to actually test for the fact that things might be immune to this, although we have enough for this PhD student who's working on it down in Waterford to be able to say there are pockets of resistance to rat poisons in Ireland. So that's a really worrying thing. And the EU are on top of it, and these regulations come in from Europe. So interesting to see how it'll go in Greystones. I mean, that dead bird, I mean, that's how we know as well. There's a raptor protocol where people who find dead birds of prey send them into the National Parks and Wildlife Service, who are able to send them off to the vet for veterinary analysis to see what different things they have in them. John Losby started this about 10-15 years ago, and at that time in 2013 he discovered that 80% of our barn owls had rodenticides in them. Now, not enough to kill them, but certainly not doing them any good, and probably affecting their reproduction rates and things like this. 80%, and nobody puts out poisons to kill barn owls. So this was why this was all brought into Ireland 10 years ago in the first instance, because of the impact it was having on our birds of prey and indeed on our top mammal predators as well, things like stoats and foxes and things like that, that were accumulating poisons if they were exposed to this sort of thing.
I saw a dead fox on the way in today, and actually what crossed my mind was, who's going to pick it up? What happens to it? How did it die? It didn't look like it was hit by a car. Did it die of secondary poisoning? And remember, foxes and birds of prey are taking very healthy rodents. You know, they don't have to be sick to be caught by a fox or a rat. They may be feeling ill, and on the way back to the burrow, they can still be hit off whether they're ill or not. Terry, you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say, we were talking there earlier on about the decrease in the kestrel numbers and the increase in the buzzard numbers. I'm just wondering, is there a correlation between them? Are they competing for the same foods? Or maybe, has any study been done on the effects of these rodenticides on kestrel and on buzzards? Maybe the rodenticide is having a different effect on the buzzard than it is on the kestrel.
I think that within Ireland, the diet of the kestrel is more limited than that of the buzzard. They very much specialise in feeding on rodents. And because we have little by way of other types of rodents other than rats and mice, we do have the introduced bank vole. We do have a couple of non-rodents, two species of shrew, one native, one non-native, that kestrels will eat as well. And they do also eat lizards. I've seen them do that when you see the lizards sometimes basking on rocks or on train tracks on sunny days. But the vast majority of their diet would be made up of rats and mice here in Ireland, whereas in Britain and on the continent, they have a much wider diet. They will eat lots of rats and mice, but they also eat voles, which tend not to be coming in contact very much with rat poison. They eat things like lemmings or hamsters, creatures like that that we don't have here in Ireland. Buzzards have a much wider diet, so they will eat rats and mice, but they will also eat things like young crows. They love to hunt rabbits, something that a kestrel couldn't do. A rabbit's far too big for a kestrel. And buzzards are also more likely to scavenge roadkill and dead animals. So buzzards may well go for that fox that you saw there, Derek, as will the crows, which is something that the kestrel don't really do very much. We know that in other countries around Europe, including just across the water in Britain, both kestrels and buzzards have coexisted for many, many generations, for centuries, even millennia, and both are very common. So I don't think that the number of buzzards in Ireland is having any effect or negative effect on the number of kestrels. In fact, it may even be benefiting kestrels because they tend to reduce the crow populations. Ireland has a very high density of crow species, much more so than other European countries. And that's been because of the absence of these large birds of prey.
Well, anecdotally, I can tell you that I drive up and down to Cork quite a lot to work for the Today programme on RTE Cork. And where I used to see kestrels, they're not replaced by buzzards.
No.
Along that stretch of motorway. So I couldn't say that the buzzards have replaced them because I don't see the buzzards.
Yes.
I'm not saying I don't see them at all, but I don't see them as frequently as I saw kestrels.
But their numbers are definitely increasing around the country.
Oh, very much so. And it's a bird that has made a big resurgence, a big comeback in recent years here in Ireland, which is really good to see. I often see them around the M50 now, perched on the lampposts. They do quite well in human-altered landscapes, more so than many other birds of prey. But these are abundant species living in tandem across Europe, and they don't really seem to affect each other.
Richard.
This is a fascinating subject, a very depressing subject in a way. It seems that poisons have had their day, for the moment anyway, until one that specifically targets rodents can be developed. In the meantime, therefore, we must fall back on traditional methods. We must block up all holes entering buildings so the rodents can't get in, a tall order, I must say. And we must gather up all our rubbish and keep it under wraps because rats love rubbish. Now, the other thing, an offence of my own, is to leave out pet food for the cat at night, which is not a good idea. Or the bird table. The bird table is going to be there. The birds eat some of the stuff, but not all of it, so the rats are going to come along. So these are the... And I remember long ago in Europe seeing farms with barn owl boxes already fitted, and they claimed that they had barn owls and they nurture the barn owls so that it would keep the farm free of rodents. Now, of course, if the rodents are already carrying poison, that doesn't work. But if we could get the poison levels down, would that work? Is this the best blueprint we can come up with, Eanna, for keeping rodents down?
Yes, Richard. The Barn Owl Box scheme is here in Ireland as well. The latest scheme for farmers now is called Acres. And there are different schemes or different bits of the Acres project, which are for environmental matters, planting hedgerows, that sort of thing. But the Barn Owl Boxes are one of them. And farmers are given the Barn Owl Boxes to erect them. And if Barn Owls take up residence, they get lots of money. They get some money to put them up. If they're successful, they get more money. And the farmers themselves are actually very interested in this. And there are, some of them have been occupied that weren't ever there, you know, in that area before. And Barn Owls in a breeding season can eat 50 rats, up to 50 rats, say 500 a week or something of that order. It's an enormous amount that they can catch. But the putting out of the poison willy-nilly is inspected on farms. The bait boxes may be there, but if there's bait in them on a continuous basis, they have to justify their existence with the paperwork, and they won't get their farm payments if they're disobeying these laws. So, I mean, the situation, a lot of farmers don't particularly want to be putting out poisons as well too, because, I mean, it hadn't gotten to the stage, Niall, where a permanent bait box could actually be infiltrated by things like slugs and snails, then eaten by small birds, which were eaten by things like peregrine falcons and sparrowhawks, who were also having poisons detected in them, and they never went near a rat at all. So, I mean, this was really ringing the alarm bells for the EU and the legislation. So they're death down. And I mean, permanent bait in boxes is a huge no-no. We shouldn't be able, without herd numbers and special education, to be an official rat catcher. Ordinary people shouldn't be able to buy these very strong rat poisons in the first instance, only very small amounts of actual less intense ones. So this is all been done at official level, so the knowledge is there that this is there, and we must actually behave in a responsible fashion, or we will have nothing to kill the rats with. And the traps that Richard is speaking about, they're all governed as well, so they're not cruel any longer. Break back traps, catching a rat by the tail or something. They actually have rat traps now, Richard, that are connected to your mobile phone. You put out 20 of them, and if anything gets caught in it, you get a message on your phone, and you run out to trap number 6, and there's something in it, whatever it is, and you're able to either dispatch it or release it or whatever. So they're moving with the times with the rat traps as well, which of course is great to see.
So there is hope, Anna. There is hope that we can address this problem effectively.
I'm certainly glad I asked the question, and I hope that poor kestrel's death wasn't in vain. Hopefully some of our listeners have become more aware of this topic now. And just to say, if anyone wants more information about the Campaign for Responsible Rodenticide Use and details on how that you can use these poisons as safely as possible, and there's always a risk, but as safely as possible, you can go to crru.ie.
And we'll make sure those details are on the website.